The fire may not open, but the devil will return. Insanity or glory in a mind that never learns. I'm all
welcome to Implant Science, Jeremy, Kentucky. On Republic Broadcasting Network, please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate, send the fundage, mail your check and money order payable to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Call in that debit or credit card number 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Keep freedom of speech alive for your children and grandchildren. This is your spiritual health and wellness broadcast where I take a break from fake and gay politics. No, I don't care if Trump is arrested or not. It really doesn't matter. Maybe you can make a case whether it matters or not, but you know, in the overall scheme of things, no, it doesn't matter. It's all just a show. So we're going to focus on the Bible and the doctrine of eternal hell. This has come up on my show a couple of times, and I said that I would address it. So I have a great sermon clip from one of our young pastors in West Kentucky, Pastor B, and I'm going to be playing that through this first segment. We'll take the break and come back with some more of the sermon clip in the short segment, and then I'll do some commentary and take calls. And we'll address these issues. If you want to call in, 512-248-8252, taking calls after the bottom of the you know, the 30-minute break. So if you would, Mike, let's go ahead and roll the clip and get this going, the doctrine of hell from Pastor B.
If you have your Bible this morning, please open to the book of Matthew and chapter number 25. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 25. Matthew 25, verse number 46. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It was the year of 1741, July the 8th, when Jonathan Edwards preached his most famous sermon, and probably America's most famous sermon, entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. His text was Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. Their foot shall slide in due time. Their foot shall slide in due time. And in this verse, it threatens the vengeance of God, he said. In this verse, he shows that they were always exposed to destruction. It implies that they have always been exposed to even sudden, unexpected destruction for their sin. The reason why they're not fallen already, the reason why sinners still live and breathe and move and exist that defy God, the reason why they don't fall now is only that God's appointed time has not come yet, he said. His observation was, there is nothing that keeps wicked men at any one moment out of hell, but the mere pleasure of God. They walk around, he said, on slippery places. They walk around on a board, on a bridge that has many places they could fall through. Their eyes, he said, cannot discern the arrows of death, no matter how trained those eyes are. At any time, the wicked could fall to their eternal destruction. I want to talk to you this morning on probably a subject that's not talked about very often, and If it is, it's probably talked about wrongly, and it's the doctrine of eternal hell. It's a weighty topic. It's something that is hard to talk about for some. It's hard to preach, but it's in God's Word. God's Word reveals it to us, and it's our duty as preachers, as Christians, to preach, to teach, to study what God has said. I want to do this. Kind of reminds me of a story of a church that had a pastor, and this pastor was preaching to them that they were all going to hell, and he kept on telling them that they're going to hell, and he wouldn't stop, and that's what he hammered on so often. Well, they got rid of him, and they got another pastor that came in. And this other pastor came in, and he did the same thing. He preached on hell, and he told them that they were going there, and he labored hard to show them the reality of hell and that wicked men will one day go there. And they kept that pastor. And when asked, why did you keep the second one and not the first? And they said, well, the second one acted like he didn't want us to go there. So there is a way to talk about this topic with love. And that's how I want to talk to you about it today. I just want to teach you with love what the Bible says. And I would ask that you would give me a hearing. For the unbelievers here today, for those lost, for those who have never been reborn, never been regenerated, never been born again, I want you to know what you need to be saved from. For the believers that's here today, those who have been redeemed, regenerated, and saved and forgiven, I want you to know what you have been saved from. And what others around you need to be saved from, and that is hell. And hell is nothing more, we could say, than the presence of God in His wrath. Because it's God Himself who is in hell, in His wrath. He's not separating Himself from the wicked in hell. He is very much present there with them. Whenever we're saved as Christians, we are saved actually from God Himself. We're saved by God. We're also saved for God. But focus on that one. We're saved from God. That's what Jesus redeems us from God's wrath. That's what we're saved from. The wages of sin is death, and after death comes the judgment, the Bible tells us. And death, Genesis 35:18, is a separation. So sin in everybody's life brings a physical death, which is a separating the soul from the body. It also brings a spiritual death, which is separating the soul from God. And it brings an eternal death, which separates both body and soul from God forever in hell. Now, this doctrine is not hard to believe because it's all over the Bible. It's just hard to swallow. So many people deny this doctrine. Rob Bell is one of the most famous universalists who deny hell. He advocates universalism, that everybody eventually will be saved. He wrote a book called Love Wins. January 10th in 2020, David Bentley Hart had this to say, quote, "The idea of eternal damnation is neither biblically, philosophically, nor morally justified," end quote. He said, quote, "Not only is the teaching of hell deficient, but those who believe in it are morally deficient," end quote. This is what you call an ad hominem, an emotional assault. Yeah. He has no basis for this. He just targets the emotions of those that he wants to persuade against this doctrine. He says it's viciously vindictive. It's exquisitely malicious. It's ostentatiously absurd. This doctrine is degrading nonsense, ridiculous and abominable, genuinely odious, he says. That's his take on what God has revealed in His Word about hell. This is nothing more than the empty-headed fool that Romans 1 says denies the truth that he's received. That hell is coming for the sinner in his sin. Now, if you ask where is hell, we could answer that it is at the end of a godless life. That's where it's at. It's at the end of a life lived without God, defying God. Now, when you study this word hell in the Bible, different translations use different words. In the Old Testament, there's a common word that's used called Sheol. In the New Testament, there's another common word that's used, and it is Hades. The ESV uses that word. And then There's also the word hell in the ESV, and that is the translation of the word Gehenna. So basically, to sum it up, sometimes, depending on the context, Sheol in the Old Testament could mean just simply grave or death. Sometimes it could mean the place of suffering and torment. Depends on the context. Also in the New Testament, Hades is the same. It could mean death. Most often it means a place of torment. But then a separate word is used, and it's the Greek word Gehenna. ESV translates it as hell. It makes a distinction between these words. You'll notice the main place is Luke 16, where the rich man dies, and he's in Hades. Now, this is not hell. When someone dies, they don't go immediately to hell. In fact, no one is there right now. Revelation 20 shows us that Gehenna, which is eternal hell, where everyone is going one day who is without God, that is called also the lake of fire. And in Revelation 20, it tells us that death and Hades are cast into the lake of fire. So when someone dies right now, biblically speaking, they go to a place of suffering and torment, but it is not the final place of suffering and torment. You could think of it as basically in a police world or in a court world, you have a summons to appear before court, you have a warrant out for your arrest. You're arrested and charged, and then you're indicted. And then once you're indicted, and once you're awaiting the final judgment before the judge, you are in a holding cell. So if someone in Graves County, where I work, if they commit a murder, we charge them with that. We put them in jail, but they're in the Graves County jail for a serious charge, but they're being held there until a final sentencing happens. After the final sentencing, they are cast into a much worse prison than where they're being held. That's a similar view of how we could say that hell is described in the Bible. People that die now, they do go to, in a sense, hell. They go to suffering, torment, like the rich man in Luke 16. We're going to look at that shortly. He goes to Hades, a place of suffering and torment. But it's nothing like the final judgment will be one day, when everyone from death, from Hades, from Sheol, when they all stand before God for the final sentencing judgment. That is going to be a day of casting them into eternal hell, Gehenna, the lake of fire. These are the distinctions that the Bible makes. So basically, at the end of the day, you could say it real simply that when you die, you go to one of two places. Because everybody that's in Hades, tormented, will go to eternal hell one day. That's the biblical teaching. So you're in one of two places when you die. Matthew says the righteous here enter into eternal life, but the wicked into eternal punishment. Now, who is going there? It says the wicked are going there. Well, who are the wicked? Revelation 21, verse 8, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. The righteous go to eternal life, the wicked go to eternal punishment. Now, I've got six D's that I want to lay before you in an outline. Number one, I want to give you a defense of hell. A defense of hell. As with many things in the Bible, I've got to tell you, kind of like election, even predestination, if it wasn't revealed in the pages of the Bible, I would not believe in hell. I'm just going to be honest with you. The reason I believe it is because it's in this book.
Right.
That's why I believe it.
Amen.
It's very hard to swallow. I admit that. If the Bible didn't speak about it or teach it, I wouldn't believe it. But the Lord Jesus Himself spoke more about hell than He did about heaven.
Right.
Now think about that.
Right.
Yeah. Jesus talked more about hell than He did about heaven. And in fact, Jesus spoke more about hell than everybody else in the Bible put together, actually. Jesus spoke more about hell than everyone else in the Bible, than everyone else put together in the Bible. He talked about it way more than He did about heaven. So that just gives you a bit of a perspective on what our Lord, what our Savior had to say. Hell is equated with justice. And you know, people who don't seek the Lord, people's thoughts that don't dwell on God, they just don't have a category for this topic. If you don't dwell on God or seek the Lord, you have no category for eternal hell. You're not going to believe it if you don't seek the Lord. Proverbs 28:5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. You must understand God to believe in hell. You've got to get a grasp of God. It's a big deal. You have to understand this. There was someone I was talking to one time, and he was telling me he's a professed atheist, and I was having a conversation with him, and he said, I just can't believe in eternal hell. And I said, well, that's because you have no idea of the value of the one who's been offended. You are ignorant of who he actually is. That's why you can't believe in hell. I couldn't either unless the Bible revealed it to me and told me about this one that's been offended. That's why hell is eternal. It's not necessarily that your sin is so bad per se, but the one you've sinned against is so worthy and so precious. Eternal hell, you could say, starting from what the Bible reveals about God, we can actually reasonably and logically even deduce hell starting from what it says. Eternal hell is logically and rationally necessary.
That's right.
As opposed to what was stated earlier in the quote, it's necessary based on this revelation. Because when God created, he created man in his own image. Man is created in the image of God. That means something. It's very important that you would know that. This is going to help hell to make sense to you. Man is made in God's image. Man, as a being made in the image of God, has a soul, and he has perverted that image. You're wearing God's image right now if you're a human being. It's a big deal to be a human being. You're representing God, and when you sin, you are perverting that image. That is serious.
That's right.
Because of the image of the one that you're wearing. And whatever level of authority that you've offended wearing that image carries over the equal punishment. So whenever you think about an example, if I tell a lie, which is a sin, right? If I tell a lie to my little child, it would be a terrible thing. But if I did, there's nothing that he would be able to do to me, right? Now, if I tell a lie to my wife, now, I'm going to be sleeping in the garage, and I don't even have a garage. It's going to be serious. So notice, the lie doesn't change, but the level of the authority of the person goes up, the punishment goes up. If I lie to my boss, who is a police chief, I'm going to get fired. I'm going to lose my job. If we lie to another country, we're going to go to war. Notice how the offense never changes, logically, reasonably. But the level of authority that the one you've offended, the level that they possess, it carries with it an equal punishment on the other side. Now think about not a child, not a spouse, not a boss, not another country. Think about God, who is infinite and holy and eternal. This is the one that you've sinned against. He's infinite, he's holy, he's eternal. Therefore, that carries with it an infinite, holy, and eternal punishment. It has to, even if it's one lie. Because of the level of authority that God has. That's why it's such a big deal, one lie. Because it's a sin against God. Plus, hell, eternal hell, is not remedial. It doesn't fix the people that go there. It doesn't change them into better people because they're suffering. There is no desire to reform or repent in hell. The sinner in hell keeps on hating God and keeps on sinning in hell. So listen, the punishment never actually catches up with the crime because it's ongoing in hell.
All right, back on the other side of the break with more of the sermon clip on eternal hell.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
So we're back. Wednesday night broadcast on Inside Spiritual Health and Wellness. We're in the middle of a sermon clip on the doctrine of eternal hell. And it's eternal because the one that you have offended is eternal. Let's carry on with the clip. We'll get caught in the next break and conclude it on the other side. So if you want to go ahead, Mike, and let's roll that. We'll take it to the next break.
People are born sinners. They can't help but sin because of their sinful desires. And when they go to hell, they don't stop sinning. It has to be eternal because the punishment will never catch up to the crime, reasonably, logically. The Bible teaches that all have sinned and that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Hebrews 9:27 states it's appointed for man to die one time and after that the judgment. At the great white throne judgment, all sinners who are outside of God's grace, they will stand before Him to be judged. All who have sinned, whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will be sentenced to eternal punishment and be thrown into the lake of fire. But someone would say, how does the doctrine of eternal hell square with the idea that God is love? God loves sinners. It's said often today that God loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. But that's not what the Bible says. Because it's not the sin that God sends to hell forever, it's the sinner himself that He sends to hell forever. And in fact, Psalm 5 says that, listen, God hates all who do iniquity. He hates sinners with a righteous and holy and necessary hatred. Wow. What's Romans 9:13 say? Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. He hated the sinner Esau, not just the sin. The better question really is, how does the fact that God is love, how does that square with him sending sinners to hell? How do we square this? How does the doctrine of hell, eternal hell, as terrible as it sounds, how does that square with the fact that God is love? How could there be a hell at all if God is love? It's a good question to ask. Well, here's a proposition for you. There must be a hell precisely because God is love. There has to be one because God is love. Most people think since God is love, there can't be a hell. No, that means that there has to be one. Let me explain. God being love demands the necessity of hell. Why? Well, when the Bible says that God is love, I want to ask you a question and you think about it. When the Bible says God is love, would that be true if there were no sinners in the world? Would it be true if there was no one in the world to love? Would it still be true that God is love? Would God still be love if there was not a creation to show forth his love? Yes. How? How can God be love if there's not a creation to show his love on? Answer, God is a Trinity. He's eternally three persons, one being. And the love of God for sinners, which he has, the love of God for his creation, which he has, it is not the pinnacle of his love. There is something that he loves more than his creation. There's something he loves more than sinners. Now follow me, we're going somewhere. He loves something more than sinners, and that is this, his own glory. That's what he loves more than sinners. And this is manifested within the members of the Trinity, apart from the creation. God is love because God loved the Father, loves the Son, and God the Son loves the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit loves the Father, the Son loves the Father, the Son and the Spirit love each other, and there is a Trinitarian love that it has existed for all time before there was ever a creation. God is love because he's perfect love within the persons of the Trinity. God's love for his own glory, manifested within the Trinity, is what demands his hate. A hatred for anything that opposes his glory. He has to hate if it opposes his glory.
Right.
He must. God loves mankind, but God hates the sinner who has despised the glory of the triune God. Because God is big on his own glory. He has to be. This is what makes him righteous. This is not what makes him selfish. This is what makes him righteous. If you want to know how righteous you are, you ask the question, how high a value do you place on God's glory? Do you love that more than anything else in the world? And that'll tell you how righteous you are. Well, God loves it perfectly. That's why he is absolutely righteous. That's why Romans 3:23 says, all people have sinned and they've come short of what? The glory of God. God is big on his glory. By necessity of his love for his own glory, which is what demonstrates his righteousness, he has to hate that which opposes it. Example, if I love children, I must hate abortion. Amen?
Amen.
If you love children, you're going to hate that which opposes the object of your love.
Right.
You're going to hate that. If I love the family, then I hate homosexuality. Because it destroys the family. I hate that which destroys what I love.
All right, back on the other side of the break with the final clip. Inside.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Plain sight, spiritual health and wellness, talking about the doctrine of hell, and finishing up the sermon clip from Pastor B. Let's go ahead and finish that up, Mike. We've got maybe a minute or two left, and I'll do some commentary, and we'll take some calls if you guys want to weigh in on this. Go ahead and roll the clip. Yeah, Mike's stuff froze up. So, what's been presented so far is that the eternal God, who is love, must punish sin. And that sin must be punished eternally. Think about this. Let me give you an earthly example. Mike, just send me a text when you're ready for the clip and all. So think about this. If you had a criminal that was caught and he had abused and molested a child and tortured them, and that criminal was brought before the judge, what would you think of that judge if he just let him go or gave him a light sentence that didn't fit the crime? It wouldn't be justice. God demands justice for our sin. And we were born in sin through one man. This is Romans 5. Through one man, sin entered the world. Romans 5:12. Just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. It's what you would call the doctrine of original sin, that through Adam we were all born into sin. that sin must be punished. And God, who is eternal and also just and love, must punish sin. He has no choice. That is why we have the doctrine of eternal hell. Mike's ready for the clip. Let's play the last few minutes, and I'll do some more commentary on the other side.
Because it destroys the family.
That's right.
Yeah. I hate that which destroys what I love. In Ezekiel 36:22, it says that God saves Israel. He creates the new covenant. He brings the new covenant in, which is salvation, basically. And he saves them for his own name's sake.
Right.
He says, Israel, it's not for you that I'm about to save you. It's for my own glory.
Amen.
That's why God does what he does. He saves for his glory. He damns for his glory. His love within the Trinity necessitates his hate, which necessitates hell. If you deny the doctrine of eternal hell, not only do you reject God's word, calling him a liar, but by denying it, it proves that you really don't esteem the glory of God very much. And if you don't esteem the glory of God very much, it's because you're ignorant of his righteousness. And according to Romans 10, that's the very thing that drove Israel to be judged and condemned. Not esteeming the righteousness of God. That's the problem. Believing this doctrine is essential because, listen, it reveals what you believe about God's glory and his righteousness. It's that important. His glory, his righteousness is so valuable that that which comes against it necessitates a hate that is righteous and a hell that is just. It has to. Defense of hell. The Old Testament, Daniel 12, verse 2. And the many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth, they shall awake. Listen, some to everlasting life.
And then the follow-on to that is some to everlasting punishment. I just wanted to address a couple of things before I go to the call screen. The Trinity was brought up, and that's been a topic that's been attacked on my show before. 1 John 5 and verse 7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. The same John that wrote this, the Apostle John, wrote the Gospel of John. Writing in the Gospel of John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Later in the chapter he says the Word became flesh. Obviously the Word is Jesus Christ. So here's the bearing out the revelation of the Trinity in the New Testament, and that is who, you know, God loves. That is the love and the glory of God that existed before all of mankind. As to the eternal state of hell, the doctrine of eternal hell, Matthew 25 and 45, talking about the Lord Jesus separating the sheep from the goats being the lost, then he will answer them and saying, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Everlasting punishment. Also consider Revelation 20, starting with verse 13. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Jesus also talks about the eternality of hell in the book of Mark 9, chapter 9, verses 43 through 48, where the worm does not die and the fire is never quenched. It's an eternal state of punishment for those that have rejected the Son of God. So I wanted to cover that, and like I said, it was brought up on the show, the eternality of hell, even the existence of hell. It is very real, and God, who is just, must punish sin. And he sent his Son. So the good news, the gospel, is that he sent his Son to take the punishment for us. So belief in the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. That's the object of faith. That is where God's judgment is satisfied, on the Lord Jesus. Those that accept that inherit eternal life. It's a free gift. Those that reject that choose to pay for their sins themselves eternally in hell. And that's basically the bottom line. Let's go to the call screen. We've got Dan in Washington. Dan, welcome to the show.
I was actually calling about your show last night, kind of off topic, but...
Yeah, that's fine.
I got a different take on the Civil War. I think the way I studied it, it really was about slavery, and Lincoln basically was a white nationalist. Because if you look at the entire West, from the Mississippi to the West Coast, that whole area was settled basically after the Civil War. And Lincoln made America whiter, you know. All these states, New Mexico, California, Montana, America became whiter after the Civil War, after Lincoln. So as far as who made the turning point for whites to lose power in America, I think it was way more Woodrow Wilson setting up the Federal Reserve. And Woodrow Wilson was actually a Southerner. He was the first Southern president. So to me, it's just the South was way more Jew-controlled. And then Lincoln did basically everything I would have done as far as put tariffs on, and all the immigrants were white. But then Woodrow Wilson comes in, and he starts doing the globalism, you know, free trade, or he tries to set up the League of Nations, Federal Reserve System. So a lot of these Jewish slave owners out of, you know, the British Empire kind of started to take back over. And I think Woodrow Wilson played a mind trick on America by funding a lot of this kind of Southern pride stuff, because they built a lot of these monuments and stuff in the 20s. But I think that was just to divide and conquer white America, basically, so it could be ruled by the Jews. Because, you know, when you promote all the whole South, you know, I disagree with a lot of the callers. I mean, it doesn't do any good for a white nationalist movement to, like, have the Southerners sit there and hate Yankees and Lincoln, because it's just kind of stupid. Because 75% of the white people in America are basically Yankees. So it divided white America. But if you look at the period before Wilson, you had this populist movement where Southerners and Westerners were getting together and pushing for, like, a silver standard. You know, a lot of these labor laws, kind of this populist movement. But I kind of think he was pushing the Southern stuff to destroy the populist movement, and then eventually to just remove white America from power. That's my take on it. Because I look at Lincoln and I used to listen to Michael Hill and stuff, and the South wasn't about the slavery and stuff like that. And then I studied my own state when they removed King County, where Seattle is, used to be called King County, but it was named after this king that came up with the Missouri Compromise. So the Missouri Compromise, the reason that came into existence was to avoid a civil war. But, you know, the reason they honored him, because it averted the Civil War at first. But that's because the South wanted to extend slavery all the way to California. So, I don't know. I just, the more I look at it, to me, Lincoln was a white nationalist. I can't see any proof that he wasn't, really, because America got way whiter after Lincoln. That's when America, you know.
Yeah, the points I was bringing up last night with Patrick, I think point one the loss of sovereignty of the states, I think, is what I was bringing up in the so-called Civil War. I mean, the South had their own economy where they could trade with Europe, and the North was not in on that.
Yeah, I've heard that argument too, and I just don't. If you look at the American Revolution, just read the Constitution. I mean, America was always one nation. Like, the federal government was always there, and they had sole power to make trade agreements, secure the border, stuff like that. You know, the states weren't supposed to ever, you know, because they weren't individual countries. They just weren't. They paint this picture of what America was before the Civil War, and I don't see that when you read the Constitution.
You definitely had the federal government coming down on the states. I mean, the Whiskey Rebellion happened just a few years after, the American Revolution, and that was the federal government basically saying, "Yeah, we're taking what we're going to take, and you know, you're going to pay us." And it was the same reasons that America revolted in the first place. So there was a lot of corruption from early on. I would agree with you that really the hinge point of loss of control of white European Americans over, you know, this country was definitely the Federal Reserve under Wilson and Warbucks the Jew that, you know, basically outlined how the Federal Reserve would operate, you know, lending money to the state. And then what'd you have when World War One right after that?
Right.
I'm still going to hold that the Civil War was the so-called Civil War was the federal government basically clamping down and on state sovereignty. Well, what did you have right after that? Let's address this point, Dan. Where did all those black slaves go? A lot of them went into the North and undercut white workers, in factories.
Well, I think that was a dirty trick Wilson did, because they did that in the 1920s, right? That's when they all started moving north. So that, I think that was another kind of trick. As a Southerner, he started promoting the KKK and stuff like that to kick all the blacks into the North. Because before then, the North and the West were 100% white, basically. Like New York, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, those were all basically, you know, like in Henry Ford's time, Detroit, those were all white, you know. That's what America was. That's what made America a world leader in the economy and all that stuff.
But another result of the so-called Civil War, too, was Reconstruction, where white Southerners were stripped of their rights.
And yeah, that's
whole
not cool.
Black suffrage thing, which led to women's suffrage, which led to all kinds of problems in the 20th century.
Well, and Lincoln got shot, so it's hard to say he was part of the... there's definitely, I would agree, there's a class of people, I think, you got traitors and Jews, basically, that want... It's the same people that have the open border today with Mexico.
Well, yeah, I know. I'll agree with you on this point. I think Lincoln was for repatriating the slaves, and I think that was one of the main reasons that he was shot. They wanted the slaves here. The Jewish elites that had infiltrated in that era. They wanted the slaves as a block, as a power arm against white Europeans. And so, if you got rid of them, if you repatriated them, as Lincoln advocated for, then you wouldn't have that power block.
Exactly. So I kind of blame the guy from South Carolina the most, because there was a good website. It was called 30 Days to Sumner or something, or it had like the 3 months prior to Fort Sumner, you know, all the events. It was a really good website, and you can see how Lincoln wasn't even really president when the South Carolina, and it was kind of like a knee-jerk reaction. That guy just got mad because Lincoln won, so he decides to secede from the Union, and the South was divided. They didn't want a civil war, and they're like, well, hold on here. So, but then Mississippi did, and then it was just kind of like, now what are you going to do, you know? So...
We're up on this last break. If you wanna hang on, we'll address this some more on the other side of the break.
The wind blows hard against this mountainside, across the sea into my soul. It reaches into where I cannot hide.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
My heart is old, it holds my memories. My body burns a gem-like flame.
Okay, let's get back. Last portion of the show. Hey, Dan, I've still got you, and we got Lark in Texas calling in.
Okay.
So let's do a three-way. No, I'm going to keep both of you on. This might be a good three-way in the last 3 or 4 minutes of the show. Bring on Lark in Texas. And so the topic is, when did we lose control? We shifted to the Civil War. Lark in Texas, are you there?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Let me just throw out some keywords that might be beneficial for y'all. And here they are. They're titles of articles. The first one is called the Lincoln Push, P-U-T-S-C-H, the Lincoln Push, America's Bolshevik Revolution. And then you can read another article, more contemporary to the Times. It's called Spielberg's Lincoln, Plenty of Negroes, But Why No Jews? Now, I guarantee you, if you read these two articles and then you do something like go to DNAconsultants.com and do a search for Abraham Lincoln's Jewish roots and just start from there, it's a treasure trove of information that you're not going to find in too many places that is going to help you understand what happened to this country, and not just from the time of the American War between the states. I maintain that we were never independent, never made free from the crown. And if you look at world history, especially European history, you'll discover that you have to ask yourself, well, who was running England at the time of the Articles of Confederation and the run-up to the Revolutionary War and then the Treaty of Paris and its aftermath? So there's your clues. Another really good one is, you can read it for free on the internet. It's called The Education of Henry Adams, published posthumously the year he died in 1918. Now, here was a man whose father was the ambassador to the court of St. James under the Lincoln administration. Lincoln was absolutely, not positively, necessarily, because we don't know for sure, but he was the first Jewish president under the Constitution. And what I've learned over the years is that the way a Jewish attorney or a jurist would perceive the law is very different from a man who might consider himself either secularist or a Christian. And this is quite an interesting study, but there you have it. That's what I have to add tonight.
Dan, do you have anything on that? We just got a couple of minutes, maybe 1 minute.
Yeah, well, there's an article from Karl Marx, supposedly the Lincoln. A lot of people question the authenticity, but at the time, Karl Marx was just a newspaper editor. And I read it, and I agreed with it. He said, you're filling this land with the poor people of Europe and not Negro slaves. So there wasn't really a Marx revolution. And the Confederacy had a Jew on their $2 bill, Judah B. Benjamin. So I've looked into that guy, and that guy, after the Civil War, ran off to England and worked directly for the King of England.
So it's hard communists won that war, and they funded both of them.
There was no communism at that time. But anyway, thanks. It was a good debate, though. Anyway, thanks.
thanks, Dan and Lark. Sorry we didn't have more time, but that's it. Back tomorrow night with William McPellum. He'll be hosting the show. I'm going to be on the road. You guys stay classy.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.